I'm Jane Crowther, Editor-in-Chief of Total Film Magazine, and welcome to Total Film's Last Picture Show, our new podcast series. The elevator pitch for this? It's the end of the world, and you have one last night at the cinema. What four films are you programming on that glorious big screen, and why? Our guest today is a British actor who broke out in kid adulthood before heading to Hollywood and starring in Red Tails, The Maze Runner, and Yardie, with Idris Elba calling him an amazing on-screen presence. On the small screen, he's appeared in CSI Miami, Harry's Law, Sense8, and I May Destroy You, before deciding to write and direct his own film, a festive rom-com, Boxing Day. He currently lives and works in LA, but he still comes home for the holidays, which is what inspired his latest project. And it's apt, as we head into December, that we're sitting by this beautiful Christmas tree to talk. Our guest today is Amal Amin.
Hello, Jane.
Welcome to Total Film's Last Picture Show. Amal, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to be discussing your fourth film programme for the Last Picture Show, but well, first of all, I think we want to talk about Boxing Day, which is your film and follows a British Hollywood mogul who returns home to London for the titular festive day to discover exes, friends, family members and general chaos. I think I detected a couple of nods to other movies as I watched it. I have to say, was there a little nod to Back to the Future in The Chase in Westfield?
There's a nod to Back to the Future. Let's see what else you got in there.
Love Actually is one of the references that is obvious just because of the Christmas setting and the sort of things. There's a bit of British. The One That Got Away kind of thing.
That would come from My Best Friend's Wedding for me. I love that film. There's a bit of Mo Better Blues in there as well. And a bit of Philadelphia Story from the 1944 classic. Yeah.
I mean, those are all important, you know, celebration of film. But more importantly, I think it's probably that you really wanted to challenge audience expectations with this film about what sort of a Black family Christmas looks like on film. What prompted you to write it? Were you just sick of not seeing anything like this on screen?
What prompted me to write the movie was that, you know, I kind of love the rom-com genre. Mm. And I wanted my first directorial debut to be about something that I love, something I know, which is my family. And real life lived experiences. I thought if I tailored it to stuff that's close enough to life, I'd be in a position where truth would be very around the corner. So that's where it started first. Making it an all Black rom-com, it just so happens to be that my family happened to be Black African Caribbean people. That's where the jump off was. It becoming a greater mission or a part of the unique selling point, for sure, because it's the first time in the history of British cinema that I can remember, at least at this level, that there's been a collective story about Black British people that doesn't lean into the trauma of the experience of street culture. And so I wanted to just add my brush to the canvas of what it means to be British. And that's this film.
And are you a Christmas movie fan as well? Is this, you said rom-coms, but this is so deliciously Christmassy. It's, you know, the twinkling lights. It's all of the things you'd want from a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I'm home alone. I'm home alone. I'm Serendipity. I am Love Actually for sure. I am This Christmas. I am Muppet's Christmas Carol. And then there's movies that are not like Christmas, but like Hook. They just remind me of Christmas. Like, you know, I'm very big into, as a consumer, action, adventure and fun and things that make you feel, but also things that make you laugh, like actually experiencing the full spectrum of human emotion. I like that.
Mm. How autobiographical is this? You say it's obviously based on your own experiences and, you know, it's this guy that's gone to Hollywood and done well, tick, that is you. You've come back to London with this film and, you know, you've got this family. How autobiographical is it?
Handsome as well.
Handsome.
Okay, great.
Do you have a beautiful fiance? You know, how many boxes are we ticking here?
But unfortunately, not. That element is yet to come into fruition.
The family, though, do you have crazy Boxing Days? Do you have a nervous throat
really,
thing?
Really, really crazy Boxing Day parties that are full of fun and magic. And they've been like almost like my grounding every time I come back from Los Angeles, is that there's a moment where we have this big party at the house and everyone that's not seen each other for the year comes together and it gets really fun and wild. And there was actually a particular one in 2016. I was like, our family parties could be a movie. And that was kind of the jump off point for me going, this should be a movie.
Explaining to American friends what Boxing Day is must be a challenge, isn't it?
I mean, I don't really explain it to them. I just say, look, Boxing Day, what's Boxing Day? It's a turn up session. They're like, Oh, all right. So you're turning up. I'm like, yeah, we're turning up. That's it. Get that.
Tell me about the casting of this film, because, I mean, obviously a lot of people will be interested in the fact that you cast a Little Mix member as your ex. What were you thinking when you cast her? Did you have any reservations about casting someone who essentially has been known so much as a pop star and not an actress?
I wasn't aware of Little Mix, actually a true story, which no one believes me, but it's true, until I realized they're always around me and I'm always hearing them, but I just didn't clock them. My writing partner actually said to me, yo, there's this girl from Little Mix. I think she might be a great Georgie. You should look at her. While I was auditioning people, the casting director put her on tape. And we just went through the process of like, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? And then I saw an interview of her and she was just so honest and so open. She drew me in with her stories and her vulnerability. And I was like, well, if she can do that, perhaps we can find a way to give her craft. And if we give her craft and she can exercise that in a short window, we'll be in the money. And so that's what you have there.
Did she sort of help craft the character at all beyond that? Because obviously she has lived this experience as a pop star. Did she sort of bring anything to it?
I think that any actor ends up bringing a degree of their own experience, or be it observational or lived experience. I wouldn't say that she's lived this particular life, but she definitely found avenues where her and Georgia met. And actually, it was such an interesting thing to watch Leanne go through that, go through the emotions of, oof, this feeling feels familiar. Oh, this might be stuff I've not thought about in years, you know? Mm. She was really great with that.
Well, let's crack on to your program of films then, because I'm really interested to see what you're going to put on there. What film is first on your program?
I would choose Back to the Future.
Displacement occurred exactly 1:20 a.m. in 0 seconds!
Ah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Doc, you disintegrated Einstein.
Calm down, Marty, I didn't disintegrate anything. The molecular structure of both Einstein and the car are completely intact.
Where the hell are they?
The appropriate question is, when the hell are they? You see, Einstein has just become the world's first time traveler. I sent him into the future.
What was it about this film that sort of got you?
I like the idea of being able to travel between different worlds and different times and different dimensions. And I like the idea of looking at, like, if you remove one thing from your life, how does it all change? Like, I like movies like that in general, like Sliding Doors. I like that. I always find that a very fascinating thing.
Obviously, in this chase scene in the film, Boxing Day, there's this sort of musical cue as they're chasing that sounds very, very Back to the Future. That's a lovely little touch. Why did you want to put that in there?
I wanted to put that in there because often when you see the images of young black boys in like fight circumstances, it has this air of real danger and, you know, a real dramatic ending to it. Yeah. You know, I've been in those films, right? So, but that's not always the case. You know, boys will be boys. And that's, I wanted to put that playful, like, boys will be boys. Mickey Rooney did some films back in the day called Boys Will Be Boys, the Hardy series.
Yes.
And just boys will be boys, you know? So that's the reason for the music there. And even later in their little fight sequence, that's why you got like, dum 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 dum, to make it fun and just know that kids will be kids and boys will be boys. I just wanted to take the edge off a little bit of the stuff we have seen.
Let's move on to your second movie now. What's next?
I would choose Stormy Weather.
Boy!
What you gonna say that game?
Oh, boy!
What you gonna say that game?
Palomar, Shalimar, Swanee Shore. Let me dig this jam once more, boy! Let's have a ball. The jim jam jump with the jumping jive makes you dig your jive on the mellow side. Hep, hep.
When did you see this and where were you in your life when you saw it?
I probably saw Stormy Weather when I was 10 years old. It's an all black film, black and white movie. It's very powerful to me because the two people I admired probably the most at that time was Fayard and Harold Nicholas. They're down as the greatest tap dancers to ever live. Fred Astaire conceded to this notion as well. Their artistry is so out of this world that it just moved me. And so I thought if I was going to die, the films that might define me is what I've said, you know, like,
right.
You know, you've got Back to the Future, this adventure, yeah, yeah. This dance. And then you can move on to Malcolm X, the Spike Lee movie, as number three.
I must emphasize at the outstart that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not a politician. So I'm not here this afternoon as a Republican, nor as a Democrat, not as a Mason, nor as an elk.
Well, tell us what you're here for.
Not as a Protestant, nor a Catholic.
That's right.
Not as a Christian,
on,
nor a Jew.
All right,
not as a Baptist, nor a Methodist.
Yes.
In fact, not even as an American.
Yes, sir.
Because if I was an American, the problem that confronts our people today wouldn't even exist.
That's right.
So I have to stand here today as what I was when I was born, a black man. Before there was any such thing as a Republican or a Democrat, we were black. Before there was any such thing as a Mason or an elk, we were black. Before there was any such thing as a Jew or a Christian, we were black people. In fact, before there was any such place as America, we were black.
Right.
And after America has long passed from the scene, there will still be black people.
There's just such a pride in that movie, man. And Spike Lee, in that particular time in his career, made something that felt classic and forever. He's using jazz in a certain way. He's jumping between timelines that work really well with the Alex Haley book. I always said it's the most beautiful I've ever seen black people look in this particular scene where Billie Holiday's singing and Malcolm X is sitting with his girlfriend, who's this white blonde lady. And then Delroy Lindo comes in and they're all just looking sharp and suited and classic and, you know, like from another time. And I just love that. I love that. I love it so much that I recently done a show, which is based around that era because I love that era. I just love what it did. You know, I kind of did that with Boxing Day, like the first song being I Fall in Love Too Easily. It just sets the tone of the movie, of adding a classic movie to the backdrop of London.
Let's move on to the fourth and final film in this programme.
I would choose the entire film of Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
Or choose the first 45 minutes to an hour of Goodfellas.
You're a big guy. Really funny. Really funny. What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk? What?
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Yeah, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
You know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to f***ing amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
You know how you tell a story. What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. Tell me what's funny.
Get fuck out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him.
Right, first 40 minutes of Goodfellas, it's an adventure, and you're dropped into a world, right? And it's like, you know, it's kind of like an action adventure again. It's like the first time I always wanted to be a gangster. Dun, 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 and you're just taken really smoothly into a world, and it has such specificity that you're just left very engaged. And then with Wolf of Wall Street, it's kind of a similar thing. It's just a raucous adventure. It's like all over the place. Way too wild to actually live, but really fun to watch these people like make the mistakes. And then if I had to sneak in another 40 minutes, I'd put the whole film in there. My Best Friend's Wedding. That's my favorite rom-com of all time.
Why does it work for you?
Of all the films I've mentioned, I remember that one the most in my childhood. I remember having the videotape from Blockbusters and my mum buying it for us and going, well, you're watching these films, ain't you? And we didn't watch that film until the very last day we had to bring it back. And then we kept that film for about a month. And it was the beauty of Julia Roberts, how much she like had charisma and she was fun and she was a flawed character. And the pure emotions of unrequited love or loving a friend that doesn't see you in the same way. I always found it quite like emotional. And when she says to Michael, you know, I know this comes at an inopportune time, but I got this gigantic favor to ask you. Choose me, love me, let me make you happy. And it just struck me as so raw and honest. That coupled with the score and a bit of Rupert Everett's The Moment I Wake Up. Like, it was fun. It was just such a fun film, you know, with musicality to it, as well as romance, and as well as an ending that is not necessarily the perfect one for her. And you're always left wanting more. You always want to rewatch that movie and hope that it kind of changes. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with Boxing Day.
Michael, I love you. I've loved you for 9 years. I've just been too arrogant and scared to realize it. And well, now I'm just scared. So I realize this comes at a very inopportune time, but I really have this gigantic favor to ask of you. Choose me. Marry me. Let me make you happy. That sounds like three favors, doesn't it?
Quick fire ones. Are you a salty or sweet popcorn boy?
British sweet popcorn.
Okay.
Only British, not like kettle corn stuff in America.
Not posh. The proper sticky underfoot stuff. And are you a trailers fan or no trailers before a film?
Oh, I love trailers.
And when the screen burns on this end of day, when everything's blown up on the last day of Earth, what soundtrack do you want playing in the background?
I don't know why this just came to my mind, but as soon as you said it, it was like, Born to be Wild. That's what came to my mind. I don't know why.
Perfect, perfect. And if you were putting this program on, who would be invited to the cinema to see your films with you and discuss them? Obviously not during the film, discuss them in between the films, not during. No talking between
no
on
talking
the film.
On film, during. No. Who would be invited? I think it would be a conglomerate of the people I've loved in my life to go, these are the films that best represent me.
So Arnold's Last Picture Show program will be Back to the Future, Stormy Weather, Malcolm X, The Wolf of Wall Street, 40 Minutes of Goodfellas, and My Best Friend's Wedding. Let us know on Twitter if you'd be up for sitting in the dark for that programme. But for now, thanks for sharing your programme, Amal.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back with another Last Picture Show. So do come back to see who's in the projector booth next time.
That was the Last Picture Show podcast from Total Film. Let us know what four films you'd watch at the end of the world. You can tweet us on @TotalFilm or connect with us on Facebook or our Instagram page.